In Matthew 16, in verse number 21, the Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now what about that? Jesus said, "I'm going to Calvary, I'm going to die." But Peter pulls Jesus aside and says to him, if I could put it in a term that I'm going to be preaching about this morning, Peter said to Jesus, "No deal." I'm preaching this morning on deal or no deal. Peter just heard Jesus tell about the greatest deal that'll ever be in this world, and that would be that Jesus, the pearl of great price, came to bleed and die on an old rugged cross to pay the sin debt for the world. You can't meet a deal like that. A deal that Jesus is able to give you everything for nothing. That's the greatest deal going. You can't beat that deal. That deal, brother's the greatest. But Peter said, "Come here, Lord. I need to have conference with you. I need to discuss this with you." Of course, if you've watched that show, anybody watched that show, Deal or No Deal? Four people, that's really good. Amen. For those of you that's still awake, let me ask it again. Amen. How many's watched that show, Deal or No Deal? All right, now then. I just thought I was beginning to wonder if y'all are all alive. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. It shouldn't take two questions to get hands up. Amen. Everybody's watched that show, Deal or No Deal, or seen it or heard of it anyway. And we'll comment more about that in a minute. But here, Jesus is expressing details about the greatest deal that's ever going to be. And Peter said, in essence, "Be it far from thee, Lord." No, this is not going to happen. Lord, this is not going to happen unto thee. In other words, Peter was saying, no deal. No deal. Look at verse 23. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You know what Jesus said, Peter? You know why you made a bad deal? You know why you don't want this deal? My suffering, my crucifixion, me bleeding and dying. You know why you don't want that? I'll tell you who's behind it. The devil. Get behind me, Satan. Could I say that the devil is behind every person that goes to hell? Every person that says no deal to salvation, the devil is behind it. Amen. And the reason anyone would turn down the greatest deal ever, which is salvation in Christ, the only reason anybody would turn that down would be what is said in verse 23, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Their whole life consists of what's of men. Their whole life consists of what's of this world. Their whole life consists of what's of the flesh, and what speaks to the flesh and ministers to the flesh, and what feels good to the flesh. And they savor not, they detect not, they discern not that which is that what is of God. Look at verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," he's coming about talking about another deal. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Look at verse 25. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Notice that. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Sound to me like a lot of dealing going on there. Sounds to me like some winning and losing. Some gaining and losing going on there. What it's right, amen? It said there, those that will save their life, they live for themselves. In the end, they're going to find out they made a bad deal. Those that live for themselves, and that is the message of this world, dog eat dog, take care of yourself, step on whoever you need to step on to climb higher. Don't worry about others, just think of yourself. How many times do we tell somebody, take care of yourself? You don't have to tell somebody to do that. They've got a depraved nature in them, brother, that tells them whether anybody else does or not, I'm going to take care of old number one. But in the end, see, the result is where you see whether you've got a good deal or not. The consequence is what determines whether you've got a good deal or not. It's not what it looks like on the surface. It's not what's at the front. It's at the end. See, Jesus' crucifixion, as was related in Peter in verse 21, 2 and 3, initially, just at the front, looked like a bad deal. But oh, look at the outcome. Oh, look at the results. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so it is here. Those that would live to save their life, and they live for old number one, live for themselves. Guess what? When it's all said and done, and they find out that they saved their life, but in the end they're going to lose it. They're going to discover that was a bad deal. Looked good, felt good to begin with, but in the end it was a bad deal. Look at verse 26. For God, look at verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, if he shall gain the whole world and lose, notice the two words, gain and lose, he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Then look at this question. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? A lot of dealing going on in that verse. A lot of dealing going on in that verse. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, let me just put it to you this way. If I were to give you, Brother Clipper, if I were to give Brother Clipper this key and say to him, Brother Clipper, this key is to the world. This key, you can have the world. This key, you own the world. All its prosperity, all of its pleasure, all of its popularity, and everything the world can give. How many people would say, now preacher, that it would be a good deal. How many of you young people sitting over here, if I had the ability, and I don't, but if I had the ability to be able to take all of this world and put it under one key, how many of you young boys and girls would think, if I give you that key, said, here's the key to the world, you can have it all. In other words, right there in one instance, you gained the whole world. The world became yours. How many of you would think, man, let me think about that a minute, preacher. Instantly, I get the key. I own the world. All of a sudden, now I'm the most popular person in the world. Everybody's going to know my name. I'll never lack for nothing. I've got the key also to the treasure chest of the world, and all the prosperity of the world's mine, and I will never lack for anything. Oh, preacher, that's a great deal. That's a really good deal. Huh? And the offer is being made to a lot of young people and to people, well, not just young people, but to people in general. Go after the world. Get all you can get. But I'm just here to tell you, it's not a good deal. Amen? I want to say to you, as we begin the message or try to preach on deal or no deal,
Seem like people are driven, they are driven in their life on getting a good deal. And I can't help but say it myself. I kind of like it. There's just something about getting a good deal that or a deal that drives you. It may be a good deal, but if I can get a better deal. Amen. I tell you, it's pitiful. It really is. But when I was in South Carolina, we'd go to the Pickens County Flea Market. Don't go up here, much, but they down there, we'd go every week. It was on Wednesday. We'd go every week. And I'd go with a list of some of the things usually that I'd be looking for. Of course, it couldn't be much if you're going to the flea market to look for it. Amen. But I'd go looking, and I'd go from one table to another. Well, if I found it at one table, I would remember that table and write it down. And then I mean, it may be a good deal right there. Run the risk of maybe somebody else buying it. But I would take a chance on going down a few more tables and getting it cheaper. And when I'm talking about getting it cheaper, I'm talking about maybe a dime cheaper, 25 cent cheaper. You know, buy some books from somebody and they'd have, you know, five of them for a dollar. I said, I'll give you 50 cents. You know? What, it was worth a dollar. I had a dollar. I wouldn't have never missed it. It was just the feeling that comes with knowing that you won. That they come to your price. Yeah, I even learned a few tricks on that. Acting like, well, you know, start to walk off, you know. Well, sir, you can have it for that. You can have it for that, amen. Amen. But we're all that way. We're driven by a deal. I hate a bad deal. Has anybody been burnt? I hate to be burnt. That same illustration with the flea market. I have went ahead and bought something and go three or four tables down and there it is, half the price. Oh, I was highly upset. You said, what'd you do? I didn't go back to get my money. I mean, I done the deal. I just was made more cautious. I was made more alert. Amen. Than ever before. But I'm simply driving home the point that everybody likes a good deal. Everybody is interested in a deal. That particular, in fact, there's two TV shows over the years that has been in very highly successful shows, game shows, and both of them worked off of a deal. One of them, you remember, Let's Make a Deal. Amen. And what I always thought, man, I'd like to go play that. I'd like to get on there sometime. I'd like to get on there sometime. Amen. But that never happened, you know. But Let's Make a Deal was a very successful game show, but it was the intensity of it was over one thing. Who's going to get a deal? Who's going to get the biggest deal? Who's going to get the best deal? And of course, the big show now, Deal or No Deal, everybody's in a frenzy. The crowds are screaming. And those that are watching it are sitting on the edge of their seat and they're tore all to pieces. No deal! Hollering at the TV like they're going to hear it. Come on, don't look at me about half crazy. I guarantee you some of you do that. You sit there and watch it and the intensity's there. They've been given an offer of deal or no deal. And I'll say some more about that. And everybody's screaming, no deal! And the other crowds are screaming, take the deal! People in their houses are screaming and hollering. They even got it now where you can call in. I believe somebody told me you can call in and voice your opinion or vote or something. But anyway, everybody's driven by that. And let me say some things about this. I noticed, I've watched that game show a few times, and I've noticed that there's no offers made until the person has gained some ground. When they start gaining ground, then an offer comes. And that offer, really, what's behind that offer is, I want you to stop. I don't want you to go no higher. I don't want you to go no further. I want you to stop. And could I say that's what's behind all the offers the devil gives, is that I want you to stop. far as your spiritual life. I don't want you to go no higher. I don't want you to go no further. I don't want you to get more serious. Amen. I want you to stop. And here's what I'm willing to offer you to get you to stop. But can I say the deal and no deal statement, it involves a choice. The offer is made, but the choice is on the individual to push the button and say no deal or else deal. Amen? I've seen some be really sick. I've seen some on there take the deal. And then after it was over, it was unofficial, but they went ahead and played it on out. And they were sick. They were sick because they could have gotten a whole lot more than what they settled for. And I'm afraid that when we get to heaven as believers, we're going to find out we could have had a whole lot more. I'm afraid we're going to find out we could have had a whole lot more than what we settled for. We took the deal. And I found out too that you'll never take the deal. You'll never take the deal that the devil offers you unless you think it's a good deal. And so the devil is out to convince you that what he's tempting you with, what he's offering you, my friend, is a good deal. But can I say, having looked at the Word of God throughout the Scriptures, I never find one time where the devil offers a good deal. Never. Not one time. It's not within his power to offer a good deal. And then I noticed some other things about that. Deal or no deal. Is, in contrast, that's a guessing game. How you fare in that game, it's just a matter of guessing. It's a guessing game. Amen. I'm going to choose this case, and I'm going to choose number 13. I'm going to choose number 25 or whatever. It's all a guessing game. Spiritually, a good deal is not a guessing game. It's a guarantee. It's a definite. It's a certainty. You say, preacher, if it is, then why are people not interested? That's a question I'd like you to help me to answer. But I'm interested this morning. I'm preaching deal or no deal. And first of all, as in our text, I want to deal with deal or no deal as in relationship to your soul. Whether you're going to get saved or not. If I were to ask the question this morning, how many in this building is determined to go to hell? Not one hand would be raised. Amen. I don't know that I've ever met anyone that just straight out told me, preacher, I'm going to hell. I want to go. I choose to go. No, never do. All of them's planning to get saved sometime. They're all planning somewhere to get saved. They're all planning on it. They're intending on it. And you've heard the statement, the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. But can I say the devil's going to make you offer on top of offer, on top of offer, to keep you from getting saved. Now, he's probably not going to tell you, don't do it. He's not going to tell you, don't get saved. He's just probably going to tell you, wait. Do it later. Amen. Oh, as the text reveals in Matthew 16, in verse 26, my friend, here it says, if a man, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Gain the whole world. But the Bible says, and lose his own soul. That's not a good deal. To have it all here and have nothing in eternity is not a good deal. To have it all here, to focus on that, to live for that, my friend, and then in the end, lose your soul, not be saved and miss heaven. That is not a good deal. But can I say going to heaven has been put to you as a choice. And it could be termed deal or no deal. It can be termed deal or no deal. God has said, here's what I'll do for you. I can forgive you of your sin. I'll give you eternal life. You'll be one of my sons or daughters. Amen. You'll be in my family. You'll have a home in heaven and many things that can be added to that. But the choice is yours. You say, preacher, I'm going to get saved. Well, when? I'm going to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. When? Most young people today are not living, well, not just young people, all ages. They're living for this world. They're living for what they can get a hold of. But the question here is, deal or no deal, as it relates to your soul or your salvation. Adam and Eve was given an offer. They were given an offer back in Genesis chapter 3 by the devil himself. And the whole gist of that is deal or no deal. And he was trying to make a deal with Eve to partake of the forbidden fruit and disobey God. And guess what she said? Deal. Oh, it looks good for food. It'll taste good. It'll be good. And she took the deal, but found out it was a bad choice. Bad choice, amen? And as a result of Adam and Eve sinning in the garden, my friend's sin was passed on all men. Death was passed on all men, for all have sinned. But they found out right quick, the devil is a liar. They found out right quick, the devil, my friend, can never offer you the best deal. He's offering you a deal, my friend, that will suit him. Will suit him. The enemy has motives that is not for you, but for himself. Amen? No doubt about that. I want you to turn to Mark 10:21. Turn over just a couple places here to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now watch this. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Now watch these next words. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? That was the emphasis. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That is one that is trusting in his riches. You know what he said there in verse 22? When Jesus told him what he needed to do to be saved? You know what he said? The Bible said he went away sorrowful. He went away grieved. He went away sad. You know why? He said no deal. When it come down to dealing with the all-important subject of salvation, my friend, guess what he said? No deal. No deal. No deal. And he went away sad and was grieved. He did not do what the Lord said. Now, it's not teaching there in that text that you've got to give away all of your prosperity to get saved. That's not what he's dealing with.
That's right.
But he is dealing with the fact that whatever you're putting your trust in, you've got to deal with that before you can be saved.
Because when you get saved, my friend, it is a trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Not in riches. Not in the Lord plus something. But it's just in Jesus. And Jesus knew that young man's heart and knew that he trusted in his riches. And that's why he said this. He said, you've been a good person. You've been good, moral, religious. You kept the commandments. And you're sincere. But there's one thing you've not dealt with, and that's the thing that's standing between you and me, and that is your riches. Your riches is a god to you. Your riches is bigger to you than I am. Go deal with it. And as you deal with it, then come and take up your cross and follow me. Amen? But then when he was sad and grieved, for he had great possession, that was in essence saying to the Lord about his soul, no deal. No deal. You have the choice. Amen? You have the choice. And then I want to deal with a second truth before we close this morning. Turn to Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter number 10. Exodus chapter 10. Not only there is the deal or no deal about your soul, it is a choice. It's an offer. You can accept or reject salvation. Amen? And I can tell you from 28 years of experience, being saved is the greatest deal. The greatest deal. Hallelujah, that ever was. But in Exodus chapter number 10, you know the story here in Exodus 10. How that when Moses was gone to Pharaoh to try to get the people of God, to lead the people of God out, and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And God began to send plague after plague after plague. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh started wanting to compromise. Pharaoh started compromising. Pharaoh said, well, all right, here's a compromise in Exodus 10 and verse 7. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord God, serve the Lord their God. And knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. You know what he was saying in these verses? Let's read verse number 8. Not so. Go now, ye that are men. Go now, ye that are men. Serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. You know what this was? This deal here was offered. You go, men, you go, but don't take your sons and daughters with you. You go, but don't take your family with you. And Moses said, no deal.
Amen.
No deal. We're not going without our children. We're taking our children with us. Amen. It's not just getting out of Egypt. We're wanting our family to go and to serve the Lord. We ought to say no deal.
Amen.
Not only about our soul, the devil offering things to keep us lost, to keep people unsaved and miss heaven and go to hell. You ought to say no deal to that, young people. Mamas, daddies, everybody here, you ought to say no deal to that if you're not saved. Because that's an offer to keep you lost. Devil will promise you all kinds of things. I promise you this. I'll give you that. This will happen. That will happen if you'll just follow me. But he's a liar. He's a liar.
Amen.
But here is the deal or no deal about our sons and daughters. We're going to take them with us. We're going to take them with us. Can I mention a third truth this morning quickly? And that is, there is always a deal coming about our steadfastness. There's a deal coming about our steadfastness. What are you talking about? Could I give you three illustrations? The three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel. the pressure was on them, that what time you hear the music. He said, you're to bow. You're to bow to the golden image. And when the time came, Brother Stallard, everybody heard the music, everybody bowed, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kept standing, and you know what they were saying? No deal.
That's right.
My spirituality, my steadfastness is not for sale. I cannot be bought. I cannot be traded with concerning my spirituality and concerning my steadfastness. Boy, won't the devil try to offer you some things to pull you away from being steadfast? He surely will. But all it is an offer. You can say no deal. You can say no deal. What about Daniel? What about Daniel in the book of Daniel? Daniel was caught up in a scheme there. He wasn't the guilty one, but they were trying to catch him. And so they made a decree that if anybody prays to anybody else other than to that god there of Nebuchadnezzar, that they're going to be fed to the lions then. They're going to be thrown in the lions. Because they knew that Daniel was a praying man. And they knew if they were going to catch Daniel anyway, they were going to have to catch him in his praying. And just like he did before at other times, praise God, he didn't... Listen, his spirituality wasn't for sale. It wasn't up for an auction. There wasn't no deals to be made about his spirituality and his steadfastness. Guess what? He kept praying anyhow. How many people in our churches are taking deals about their steadfastness and their spirituality? I mean, they're taking deals that's offered to them. Steadfastness. What about Nehemiah? Talk about Nehemiah when they were up on the wall, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and Sanballat and Tobias came up and said, come down. Come down and let's go to Ono and let's discuss this and let's see if we can get a treaty. They were making an offer. But guess what Nehemiah said? We can't come down. We're in a good work. We're doing a good work. We're involved in a good work. We can't come down. And he said, no deal. But how many people in churches are saying, okay. And they take the deal. Amen. Think about your steadfastness and your spirituality. I thought about probably the greatest example, no doubt is the great example, Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was offered by the devil three different times a deal. And in all three cases, he said, no deal. No deal. I'm not taking the deal. Why? The devil was attacking his spirituality. He was attacking his spirituality, his steadfastness. But Jesus said, no deal. I'm not taking it. There's more. I'm not taking it. There's more. Amen? What about Samson? Samson was a threat to the enemy. But Samson took the deal. Samson took the deal. He was a threat to the enemy. He was one that had victory over the Philistines. And guess what? The Philistines started making offers through Delilah and so forth. And guess what? He took the deal. And he woke up one morning with no power in his life. Why? He sold his spirituality out. He sold his steadfastness out. He took the deal. For a little pleasure, my friend, he lost a lot of ground. Oh, he did. He lost it. He surely did. And then I thought about another one in Acts chapter 4, verse 16 through 23, where Peter and John was told, don't preach anymore in his name. Talking about in the name of Jesus. Don't do it. Don't do it. And you know what? They even beat him. They put them in prison. They threatened them. But you know what? As soon as they let them out, they went right back to preaching again. You know what they said? We're not for sale. No deal. We're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Amen. God help us to know that it's only an offer made. God's not in the dealing business. He's not trying to make a deal with you. He's not trying to get you to give up something, to get something, quit something, stop something, start something, have something. He just puts it all on the line. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to repent of your sin. You're going to have to believe the gospel. You must receive Christ as your personal Savior. Turn from your old ways and live for Jesus. That ain't a deal. That's just the way it is. Amen? That's just the way it is. You either get saved or not. You either accept that or not. Amen? God's not going to say, okay, all right, let me make you another offer. You don't like that offer, let me make you another offer. No. God puts it all on the table and says, here it is. You want to go to heaven, you've got to come through my Son. And you've got to deal with your sin. Amen. And a lot of people's not willing to do that. Amen. A lot of people's not willing to consider that. But I want to ask you this morning, in closing, Matthew 16:26. The most important decision in your life is about getting saved.
Amen.
Time's running out. The physical life is too, listen, there's nothing any more shaky than your physical life. You could be here today, you could be here right now, and not be here in 10 minutes. I mean, there's nothing you can do to keep your heart pumping. You're not in charge of your life. In fact, it says in the book of James, it's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. You're not in charge of your life. Boy, the devil wants you to die lost. You young boys and girls and moms and dads, people here lost. Listen, God, listen, the devil wants you to die lost. Don't want you to get saved. But God is telling you that if you get it all, have it all, listen to the lie of the devil, have it all. But if you lose your own soul, you certainly made a bad deal, a bad choice. Best thing you can do today is get saved. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I was preaching last night up in Dayton, Tennessee, and a 47-year-old man, while I was preaching, come through the back door of the church. 47 years old. I seen him come in, but I didn't pay much attention to it. I was too busy. I was preaching wide open. There's a shouting and everything. And I seen him come in, but I didn't pay much attention. And he sat back there and he listened to the Word of God. And in the invitation, down the aisle he come and got the altar and testified he'd gotten saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's another one added into the kingdom. If he really meant business. 47 years old. What about that? You don't hear that much. You don't hear that much. Most times if they get saved, they're going to get saved when they're young. Not too many people getting saved nowadays. We saw seven professions, we'll put it that way. As far as we know, by their testimony, they claim to have gotten saved. And some of them's really bearing evidence. Some of them's bearing fruit. Amen. But we had seven said they got saved in the month of September. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that wonderful? That's not counting the many that have gotten saved on the mission field and through our missionaries out on foreign soils. And we thank the Lord, be a part of the good work of God. But what are you going to say this morning? The offer is made to you. Heaven or hell. Jesus on one hand or hell on the other. You either accept Jesus and go to heaven, reject Jesus and go to hell. The choice is yours. What are you going to say this morning? Deal? No deal. Choice is yours. Would you stand with me, please?
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.